The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Still to come here, Mark Borchardt on baseball, NFL power rankings. Oh, that's fun. After you get to about eight, then it's all very subjective, I believe.
Oh, this week was way tougher.
Yeah,
way tougher.
College football with Pete Futak. We'll discuss it all. I want to. Let's do tweets. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. First of all, we get text as well, Kelly. This is from one Christopher Felica, known as the Bear on ESPN's College Game Day. This is via text. He said, "Kelly, you really aren't very good at this." To which Kelly replied, "Watch out, coming for your spot, Felica." All right, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from Titans fan Mike. Weather not looking good in Hotlanta this weekend. Potentially an MLB scheduling nightmare. Oh, could you imagine that? This will be the most baseball thing ever.
Yeah.
Here's the biggest series of the regular season. I'm sorry, we have rain.
And it might be.
Might be.
You got to keep watching this track the next couple days. Everybody stay safe down there in Florida.
A New York Mets 16. Are you guys being a little premature with the classification of Cowboys D? Their dominance. Did you say dominance?
He must have said. He used quotes. I don't think I used the word dominance.
I don't think anybody said dominance. He said their dominance came against two of the worst offensive lines in football. Their true barometer may not come until they face the Eagles in Philly week six. Agree? Yeah, I think you're probably on some there.
Yeah.
Competition matters. Mike Ross, listening to Gil talk about the Braves, so with Strider shelved for the rest of the year, is Harris Jr. minus 480 a lock for NL Rookie of the Year? Well, if Strider can't pitch, and he can't, it's looking like it's trending towards Harris. And by the way, Harris just on fire here down the stretch as well. This is from Jason H11. After the discussion with Spore, I went on DraftKings, and the Braves are plus 290 to win the division. Had to add some more to the plus 170 when you first started discussing this. Let's go Braves. We'll talk to Mark Borchardt about this here momentarily. Phil Weiss, not happy that Barry Lamar Bonds made his way onto the show again today. Kelly, note that. He's not happy. just put that down. Let's see here. Also, New York Mets 16. He goes, there is one four-letter network that cares about the AL home run record, as we all know, because they continually interrupted money-making college football games to air judges at bats live. Ugh.
By the way, on that real quick, because I've noticed that as well, I hope he hits 61 on the final day of the season, because it's getting comical how they have to do that and lead every segment of SportsCenter with
it. Here's another walk. It's really exciting. Timmy K4, he's quoting me from our college football guessing line segment. He goes, okay, Phil Steele, what's your pick? I'm sorry I cut away so much. We had Survivor to talk about. I didn't mean to be so flippant about it. Mike Rouse, when guessing lines with Kelly, he said, how do you not use I like your number better? It's a good point. I should have. Missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah, missed opportunity.
Cricket Man, I'm hitting K's picks hard. You're K, Kelly. The books are so far off. Gil who? That's great. A. Brown, early lines for best new VSiN segment. Have guessing college football lines with Kelly Bidlin, a heavy minus 250 favorite. Love it. And on with these. Power play picks. Thoughts on Kelly doing a voiceover freestyle of Annie Up by M.O.P. for guessing lines intro music. He brought some fire with this morning's intro.
Always try to. Try to when I can.
Mike Manning, Andrew Barman asking about tennis picks. We'll get to more of your tweets here momentarily. But we have Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert to talk some baseball with us. Basewinner.com, at Basewinner as well. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good, man. Looking forward to this new playoff format. I wasn't a big fan when they announced it. But as it's getting closer, I think it's going to be really cool. I mean, I can hardly wait to that wild card weekend. And I think it properly incentivizes the teams to continue playing deep into the season, because that home field advantage for the four seed is a big deal. And I think that, you know, maybe not this year, but I think, you know, in general, the difference between the fifth and the sixth seed would be significant. You can make a case right now, I think, if you're a National League team, I think I'd rather be the sixth seed than the fifth seed. But, you know, I think it's designed to incentivize the teams to keep playing throughout the year, especially with the buys, which really isn't coming into play this year, but it will in years future. So I'm really excited about it. I think that the way that this has turned out, you know, Major League Baseball, we criticize Major League Baseball for doing a lot of things wrong. But I think in this case, this is really cool. I'm looking forward to it personally, Gil.
Well, I'm with you because, listen, if you were a baseball purist, and you and I love baseball, and I don't know if I consider myself a purist or not, but once you started knocking off things, like once you started putting a ghost runner at second and changing doubleheaders to seven innings, changing the playoff format is not bothersome at all, right? At that point, you're just like, do have at it if you're doing all of these other things. I will say this, which is, you're right, like the Blue Jays win against the Yankees in extras last night was important because that gives them, you know, just that much more of a leg up in terms of getting home field against the Rays in a 4-5 wild card. So here's the deal. Again, for those who missed it, there's no tiebreakers are established, so there's no like extra games at the end of the season. And the reason that they went this way is because of the extra series of the postseason. Now you have, again, two teams with byes, the two best division winners. The third best division winner hosts the third wild card team. We're talking each league. All three games in the best of three at the third division winner's ballpark. Same thing for the four versus the five. All three games, potentially three games, at the ballpark of the number four team in the playoffs, the number two wild card, if you will, versus the number three wild card. The number one wild card versus the number two wild card, which is essentially the fourth seed versus the fifth seed. Sorry about confusing those numbers, but hopefully you get that. The real interesting thing that we haven't talked about enough, Mark, though, is beyond that. Have you looked at the schedules of the championship series and the World Series?
I have taken a cursory look, Gil.
So here's the thing. So the wild card is consecutive days, 1, 2, 3, right? All of them, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think those are the days they play them.
Right. No, you're right.
Then when they get to the championship series, so it's October 11th, 12th, and then ready for this, games 3, 4, and 5 are the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and it's a 2-2-1. So are you telling me if they get to the fifth game, it's a travel day and they play immediately? So that,
I guess that's what you're saying. No, I didn't pick that up.
That's so incredible. Yeah. That's an unbelievable scheduling, I won't even call it a quirk, but like a massive weird. I mean, both teams are going to have to deal with it, right? If it goes the full five, because remember the division series we're talking about now, the division series, not the championship series. The division series would be a best of five where 3, 4, and 5 are played on consecutive days, but they go 2-2-1.
Especially if you get a Seattle-Toronto matchup. That's a huge deal. So,
yeah. I mean,
I don't know how you handicap it, but
it's crazy. That's yeah, crazy, yeah. Right? So anyway, and then by the way, beyond that, right, then when you go to championship series, the same thing happens with 4, 5, 6, 7, where it's consecutive days. And that's 2-2-1-1-1, I believe.
I guess you got to go into which team has the best Learjet metrics and take it from there.
There's a whole bunch of stuff coming up that we are not prepared for, which is going to be fascinating.
I think one of the things though, Gil, that I've always been kind of like, I haven't been a big fan of it, is like these travel days and you get a weather day. And then so what happens is instead of like the bulk of the season being, you know, a 4-man rotation or a 5-man rotation even, right? You're looking at a 3-man rotation in these playoffs with the days of space, you know, in between, and then the weather gets thrown in. So in a way, I kind of like it better because I think it rewards a deeper team, in my opinion.
That's a great point. It does reward a deeper team. And you know what else it rewards? The fans and the bettors. How great is October going to be? My goodness. Speaking of which, I asked this of Spore earlier. I'll ask this of you. 8 games left for both the Braves and the Mets. The Braves are 1 game back, but they have to clear the Mets. If it's a tie at the end, the Mets win on a tiebreaker. So the Braves, while controlling their own destiny, right now, if the Braves and Mets won all their other games, talking about their other games besides the 3-game series they play in Atlanta this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, weather permitting, right now the Braves would have to sweep the Mets. If the Mets give one back here beforehand, then it's a best of three, essentially, obviously with 3 games afterwards, but it's a best of three for all intents and purposes. 3-1, that's the number on the Braves to win the NL East. Would you bet that?
Well, I've got it at, I've got the Braves at 30%. So yeah, I mean, I think given that it's pretty good value. So like that's plus 233 and you're saying it's plus 300. So based on those metrics, it would be good value at that price. Now, you know, I think what really stinks, if you bet the Braves, and I know you did, is Strider getting hurt.
Yep.
Because that sways the probability. So, okay, I have the Mets winning 70% of the time right now. If Strider's just one game in that series or the rest of the year, right, if he's in the rotation, it's 62% Mets. So it's an 8% swing, him getting hurt. And so that's what kind of stinks about injuries in baseball, and it makes it hard to handicap the futures, you know.
No question. That was not an optimal development for that bet, that's for sure.
Well, no. Yeah. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So.
What do you got today? What do you like today?
You know, I'm going to go with a couple games. I like the Padres. I have them in the model like a lot better than the Dodgers. I got a model at minus 175, and they're at minus 110, minus 115 right now in the market. So that's a play for me. And then I also like the Astros over the team total, over 4.5. You know, one of the things, first of all, my model has it at 4.83 runs, so there's value there. But one of the things that's interesting about this matchup is Davies is the third highest pitcher as far as use of his changeup goes. And the Astros are fifth in baseball over the last 60 days in hitting the changeup from a linear weight standpoint. And if you look at Davies versus teams that can hit the changeup good, teams like the Dodgers, teams like the Padres, even the Rockies and the Mets can hit that changeup. You look at his base winner ERA on the road, it's 5.51. So I think we have a good matchup from a model standpoint, but from a micro standpoint, I think it's even better. So Astros team total over 4.5 is a good play, Gil.
Astros team total over 4.5, and the other one was the Padres? Is that what I heard?
Padres on the money line.
The money line. Thank you, Mark. Great seeing you as always.
My pleasure, Gil. Thank you.
Mark Borchardt at Base Winner. Man, is this baseball home stretch going to be fun and the playoffs even better. NFL Power Rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance, recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video, season prep. That includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. We also got your pro tools. That's our exclusive betting splits. That's one example of pro tools. Pro tips. That updates every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. I think I'd take that option. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you know what we forgot to do in the first hour? We've never been this tardy on it.
I know. I feel bad.
I do too.
Pro tip. Good on it.
We've been model students.
We really have.
Guessing lines with Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, might be a satirical segment. Might being the key word there. But it can still be a great practice to make lines yourself to see how yours compared to the books might lead you to a bet. That's why we do guessing lines on Monday. And that's why we now do college football guessing lines on Tuesdays.
Let's go.
It's our pro tip. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If any sports books out there need help on James Madison lines, I'm available.
Have the lines moved, by the way? That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. I've done the math for everybody. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ryan Hyatt. Do you know Ryan Hyatt, Kelly?
Love Ryan Hyatt.
We love Ryan Hyatt, the silent producer of Primetime Action for 2 years. He said, that settles it. Got to get Kelly Bidlin on this on another podcast he's talking about. His Guessing Lines college football segment with Gil, now industry standard. Quote, I talked to a guy, unquote. Hashtag CFB Capper King. This is from Jesse Welch. I don't care if Kelly goes 0 for 0 on his college lines. That segment has to become permanent. And permanent it is.
Boom.
By the way, like I said, I couldn't have done better on that James Madison one. That was phenomenal.
I can't. I mean, that was a shot in the dark on that line. Can't believe how close I was.
Nobody knows JMU football like Kelly Bidlin. Bama Mafia, the Guessing Lines College Edition, maybe the best segment of the week. Heavy chalk. He's crying emoji.
Let's go.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Getting winners.
T.L. James. Oh, no, that's a different one. Anyway, these go on and on. We appreciate it. Oh, Kenny G. Morning. Gil, you and Kelly need to have more fun. Love the show.
Yeah. I'm liking the idea of Wyatt downstairs hearing all these tweets come in. And
dying.
He's going to himself, Oh my God. Oh, I got to keep records of this every week. Like, I'm going to have to track Kelly's picks.
He's like, now I'm the court stenographer of this show. God. Another segment. Enjoy, Wyatt.
Hey, Wyatt's downstairs with two new APs training right now. Get him up to speed quick, Wyatt.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Power Rankings. Do we have an intro? We do.
Yeah, we do. Oh. Plug it in. Time for the Power Rankings, Gil.
You really missed it out on a great voiceover career. Just a quickly.
You know, it was always my dream job, too. I never thought I had the voice for it.
Oh, dude, when you get in your excited mode, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Can I do a quick aside real quick?
Sure.
One of my best friends in the world, and he has a great production company, he owns it himself now. Mm-hmm. He started off by working on an ad agency in Miami, right out of college, 22, whatever it was. And he was an audio mixer, big-time audio guy, like our guys Jeff and Sean next to me right now, and knew a lot about audio. So he started by recording a lot of the commercials and voiceovers. And he would record all the Papa John's commercials. And the guy would come in to do the Papa John's voiceover, and he would say, he would tell a story, he'd be like, Kelly, he's like, I do this once a week. This guy comes into the studio, read scripts for 20 minutes for voiceovers, walks out, and the guy standing there that handles the account, that hands him a check for $20,000 every time he comes in. He's like, I don't know what we're doing with our lives, but we're doing something wrong.
I have very few experiences with this, but since we're on his side here. So back when I was doing slow jamming, right, at KML back in the day. So when you do, when you do radio, the voiceover community kind of looks down on you for what they do. Because voiceover is really acting in a way. And they're like, oh, you're too announcery, right? So I only got two gigs, little voiceover gigs in my whole life. One was a Rugrats.
Commercial. Are you serious?
Yeah, but it was like a local. But it was awesome because it was like literally 15 to 30 seconds.
I'm taking that as Gil was former star of Rugrats
That's
TV show.
Not correct. and the other one was, do you remember Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk? It was also like a, Savion Glover, I believe, was a hip-hop tap dance kind of guy. And it was a show.
Okay.
I literally did the tag. I don't remember what the Rugrats one was. But the tag for Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk was literally me really quickly going, Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk, brought you, right? Like that. 10 seconds. They're like, here's a check for $1,600.
I'm like, this is amazing.
This is,
right?
How do I do this more often? Never got another gig.
And then, of course, there's the revenue that you got off of Slow Jams, which we know had to have been massive. There it is. Everybody that's forgotten, it will live in the archives forever. So
look at that. They misspelled my first name. It's two L's.
It's the best part.
Yeah, it's the best part. It's great production. Look at that kid. Look at that kid. Not a worry.
Oh, man.
Look
such a bright
at that
future.
Kid. Oh, man.
The white turtleneck. Just classic 90s look.
It was beige, by the way. It was a little off-white.
Oh, okay.
All right. NFL Power Rankings. I'm going to go from, pardon me, from 1 down to 10. The blue dash represents no movement. And, of course, the green and red arrows, with the amount of spaces it moved up and down, is also represented by Kelly's graphic here. The Buffalo Bills remain my number one team in football. Yes, they lost. But again, look at that box score. It is about the most lopsided box score you'll ever see. Again, 90 plays for the Bills to 39 for the Dolphins, outgained them massively. And it wasn't really, there wasn't anything in that box score that wouldn't suggest the Bills should win that game. The other thing about that game that most people aren't talking about, we mentioned it on Guessing Lines yesterday, is at one point the Bills didn't even have 14 starters.
Yes.
14. If the Bills aren't your number one team, you're probably doing something wrong.
So, I completely agree with what you last just said. When you sat down to do this yesterday,
yes,
did you spend longer than 8 seconds on number one?
No.
Me either.
Less than 3 seconds.
Me either.
So this is, for those who are like, what do you mean ESPN has Miami number one now because they're 3-0 and they beat? This is not what we do.
Yes.
Right? So I still have the Chiefs at number two. Again, they didn't have Harrison Butker. Jeff Parlay, former producer here, producer 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland producers of A Numbers Game, he's on the Megapod with me, the Beating the Book of Megapod. Thank you to everybody who listens. And he posed the question, what means more, Chiefs losing Butker, Chargers losing Keenan Allen? And the reason he asked is because he knows me well enough to know that I would immediately say Butker. But he's amazed at how many people mock him for even asking the question, because clearly it's got to be Keenan Allen. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that's not a big loss for the Chargers. But that loss of Butker colored that entire game for the Chiefs.
Of course it did.
The
yes.
other day, decision making, how they handled everything. Chiefs are still number two for me. Eagles and Dolphins, the only two remaining undefeated in the NFL, they're 3-4. I can no longer keep them below that. The Eagles are 3. They've scored 24 points all three first halves of their first three games this year. And the Dolphins deserve to be a top five team. So they soar up to number 4. I still have the Ravens as a very highly valued team. They get to the number 5 position. I said this yesterday on Guessing Lines. As much as we appreciate Lamar Jackson, we do not appreciate him enough.
Yep.
He's a top 3 MVP candidate again. He is unbelievable. I got the Rams at 6. I said in the offseason, they're going to lollygag through half this season. I meant it. They're doing it. They're still number 6 for me. Because I'm not super overreactionary on these, and it's different from what you might see in mainstream media, the Chargers fall, but I'm not putting them out of the top 10 yet. But they do fall precipitously from 3 to 7. They're now number 7 for me. The Niners remain at 8 despite the loss. It was Jimmy G's first game with a full week of practice. It's in elevation. I think you have to give them a little bit of a pass, the Niners, that is. Packers get in for the first time for me. They're number 9. Now, let me just say this. From 9 to 14, Kelly, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
I ended up with the Packers at 9 and the Bucks falling all the way down from the top 5 to the number 10 position, but I could have just as easily put the Jags in there, the Vikings in there, or some other teams. What you got?
Yeah, for me, it was Bills number 1 without a doubt. I guess I think the most interesting thing I took away from yours and mine is the difference, the Eagles and Dolphins difference. I felt that way about the Eagles. I say, to me, this team is legit. I'm seeing them run off win after win. Jalen Hurts is looking great. Those wide receivers, awesome duo wide receivers they have right there. That defense looking fantastic. Number 2, I'm pretty in. They look like the best team in the NFC right now, and I don't even think it's all that close, Gil. So they are number 2 for me. No problem raising them up that far. I'll hit on the Dolphins. I know they're at the end. Dolphins, I didn't have ranked last week. Yes, I have them ranked now. I did put them at 10, though. They're a team I'm just, I don't know, I feel like I've seen this story with the Dolphins before, and it's the, okay, We didn't hesitate about the Bills number 1. We still think they completely outplayed the Dolphins in that game. Win over the Patriots week 1 doesn't look all that impressive with what the Patriots have looked like the past couple of weeks. And the Ravens game, a little bit of a fluky ending. I'm just not there yet on that team. Quickly, Chiefs remain at 3 from 3 down one spot for me. Bucks remain at 4. I just can't blame this team until I see them fully completely healthy. Ravens up a few spots to 5. Chargers down a few to 6. Rams down to 7. Vikings, Packers stay pat at 8 and 9.
And the Dolphins are at 10 for you. They crack your top 10. I will say this. If the Dolphins can turn around and beat the Bengals on a short week and go 4-0, ooh. They deserve a top 5.
Oh, that would be huge.
That would be huge for sure. Coming back with college football and Pete Butak next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. The VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide will be available soon with strategies and best bets for the season ahead. Get in-depth analysis from our hockey experts, including Andy McNeil, with predictions for teams and players, win totals, daily betting tips, season-long trends to watch, plus 3 rings every new NHL bettor should know. That's 3 things. Someone said 3 rings. I just went with it. 3 things that every new NHL bettor should know. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And by the way, Andy McNeil joins us on the show tomorrow for the first of his division previews.
Return of the Mac, once again.
Return of the Mac. Can you name the artist for Return of the Mac, Kelly?
I used to be able to, but not off the top of my head
right
now.
That would be Mark Morrison. Mark Morrison.
Good song.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Again, we appreciate the feedback. The Gonzalez Cannon, quote, okay, Phil Steele, line of the week. I mean, he was just going to, listen, Gonzalez Cannon, he was just going to give us returning starters. He was going to go through, like, trends from 5 years.
I'm just glad you shut it down then, because I didn't have much on those later games.
Bill Hooker. Kelly's unbridled energy and enthusiasm is a welcome addition to an already top-notch show. There you go, Kelly.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
It's very true. Mike Rouse, how about bringing back the Love Zone for your favorite picks for each NFL week? You know, here's the thing, Mike. We did a Love Zone segment on Primetime Action. Kelly, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and I. It was great when Danielle was with us because you know, it was funny that way. But when she left, it got awkward.
Yeah. It gets a little awkward. Know what the right word is. Yeah. Creepy? Maybe up there?
Cringy.
Yeah. Cringy.
Cringy's the word I'd go with. Web 12-66, angriest guy in New Jersey. He said, showing that CD, that was the best spot on the show all year. LOL, good on you. Have a little fun with yourself. Hey, listen, Web 12-66, I've always said on this with tweets, you can murder me as long as you're funny.
Isaiah's just got this B-roll ready to Isaiah go whenever you bring it up. Gil's like, what? I lived in San Francisco. Oh, and the video's rolling.
That kid could do no wrong. Let's see. Mike Alvarez. When Kelly gets excited, he sounds like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when he's trying to sell one of his brilliant ideas. That's exactly who you sound like.
All right,
Thank you, Mikey.
I've heard this about seven times before, so I'm not going to say you're wrong.
Pete Futak joins us from the center, the heartland of the country, college football news emperor and college football expert. How you doing, Peter?
Can we just forego this segment and go back? Is that did I see that right? Gil Alexander, who had a you cranked a CD out.
Here's the thing: we all had radio shows back in the day, and there was this entrepreneur who'd be like, "Hey, I'll make a CD. We'll throw your face on it. People will buy it." I didn't see one penny from that thing, man. Except for when Kelly bought it for $75 on eBay.
eBay, baby.
I should get money from that, shouldn't I?
It gets great. You did it, though. Look, back in the day in college, a DJ, low level, whatever, we had all the equipment. And all of a sudden, one day, we're listening to one of these old cassette tapes, and my friend tried to pretend to rap and put together a rap tape that he just did for himself. And it's sitting in my basement that I'm going to use as blackmail for whenever it needs. That moment that he gets a little too snotty or uppity, I'm going to bust that one out. Everyone's got skeletons in their closet when it comes to this stuff back in the day.
I don't view it as a skeleton. I'm quite proud of it. People can't stop laughing at me, and I'm like, you don't understand. It was the number one show in nighttime radio in San Francisco.
What was the intro line again? It was the, this is Gil Alexander.
Something like
come
that.
Come inside the love zone.
Something like that.
You're like, man.
That should be the show here, the Love Zone. I'm with it.
Yeah, we're going. We're doing okay with how we're doing it.
We need a segment of it on primetime action, Pete.
Yes. People are like,
so which college football games do we love this week?
We're getting to that, but before I want to ask you just generally before we get to your picks. Let's take Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and I don't know, let's throw in Clemson. Bill Connolly did a great piece at ESPN.com about this, how basically he went through 16 teams at the top of college football, and he's like, they're all flawed, and here's the biggest flaw for each of the teams. I want to ask you, for those four teams, which the biggest flaw is. Actually, let's throw out Clemson. Let's just talk Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Alabama, he noted, not a lot of big plays from its passing game, and they're kind of normal and average in terms of run efficiency. Ohio State, you're laughing already. You're such a Power 5 snob.
I love Bill Conley.
Ohio State, he says the defense gets burned a lot. They've allowed four gains of 50-plus. That's eighth worst in college football, and they're still a sieve in the red zone. And then Georgia, a passive pass defense. Now, you have to say, we saw a little of that this week, right? A passive pass defense, 4 weeks in. The Dogs rank 81st in passing success rate allowed, 67th in completion rate allowed.
Okay, let me stop you here because I can't stand Bill Conley stuff. Okay, look.
121st. Let me just finish. Let me just finish. 121st in sacks per dropback. Now you go. Go ahead.
Because they're up 31-0 and everyone throws. So, like, I great guy. I love him. These stats are skewed. You have to remember that, yes, Kent State, they were murdering Kent State. I mean, they were up, but like this was a game that, okay, they didn't, have their A game in the red zone. They kicked too many field goals, but they came up with like 550 yards to like 290. I mean,
Pete, do you remember the question? The question was, which of these three is the most concerning?
By far.
Thank you. Okay.
By 1,000 miles. Because, Ohio State, what was it about the 77 points against Toledo that wasn't explosive? Like, okay. They're fine. Okay, I'll tell you the exact real problem with Ohio State. Backup quarterback. The exact real problem with Georgia. Backup quarterback. Because if Stetson Bennett or C.J. Stroud go down in the transfer portal era, they don't have a number two guy who can say we can get through the gauntlet of maybe four games. They'll get through a little while, but like if they have to play, if you know, get through all the tough games with a backup, that's going to be a problem for both of them. Alabama has not proven they have a wide receiver yet. They do not have the Jameson Williamson and the Jerry Judy's of Devontae Smith's of the last few years. That is a big problem. So, and if they have problems not checking down their tight end and not getting enough out of the running backs, that is an issue. Clemson, USC, there's everyone else has major flaws. Really, Georgia and especially Ohio State, there's no blip so far.
Okay. That's fair. That's what I was getting at. Like, which is the most concerning? That's what I was most interested in. Okay.
And by the way, in the Big Three, as we talk about this, it is not a rock given that both Alabama and Georgia in the college football playoff, if you think of the mechanics of how the college football playoff has always worked, because we still have yet to have a two-loss team in the college football playoff. And Alabama doesn't have a week off like until like they play one of those Western Carolina things later. But if you look, they got the whole SEC West to roll through and Tennessee. They might lose. They're going to lose a game, so which means they can't lose the SEC championship, and at least according to history, still make the college football playoff.
All right, Pedro, let's go rapid fire here. You ready?
Go.
Heisman Trophy. C.J. Stroud is plus 160. He's the short shot. Is there another player that you might find the number appealing to bet on in the Heisman Trophy market? Stetson Bennett, 14-1. Hendon Hooker, 16-1. Anyone?
Where is Caleb Williams sitting at? I know
he's 5-1. 5-1.
Yeah, that's not good, but that's you'd like more than that. But fortunately for America, that game was on Pac-12 Network and no one saw it. But he came through in the clutch. But he's got the big. It's going to keep rising. If USC keeps doing this, if they rock against Utah, rock against Notre Dame, he's going to be the high-profile guy. He would be the other guy I'd put on that list.
Hey,
but yeah, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. How about Bryce Young? Who, by the way, in an MVP sort of way. They're screwed if they don't have Bryce Young against Texas. So Bryce Young's got to be up there still, too.
Okay, let's go to games. How about Alabama at Arkansas? We were talking about this earlier. Bama favored by 17.5.
It's a lot. You want to stay away from this because you don't know which Alabama is going to show up. Arkansas's got the lines to hold up, and they do have the ability to come back late and keep this close. I think Alabama wins. Arkansas covers.
LSU and Auburn, Tigers and Tigers. Kelly was a little off on this guess earlier, but it's LSU
and
minus
2 8. Two straight weeks of this, the Tigers are going to win, guaranteed.
LSU minus 8.5. What do you think?
After that Mizzou loss. LSU. Auburn hasn't shown anything. I mean, Missouri's not good. Penn State's okay. They're not 41-12 great. So I'm not buying in that Auburn has any semblance of an offense. And LSU, everyone saw that opening day against Florida State. They're still very, very talented. They're sneaky good. I like LSU in the points in this.
Hmm. Okay. And then what is, just as you looked at the slate here for, what is it, week 5, I guess, in college football, what line stood out to you the most?
I want to love Kansas. I mean, how do you not at this point?
How do you not?
How do you not? It's a wonderful story. For years, you know, they were always the team to fade. 3.5 for Iowa State. It's still muscle memory that I just can't get there. That three, giving Kansas only 3.5 is a lot. Long story short, I'm going with that. And I think Michigan State's going to bounce back. I don't think they're as bad as they showed against Washington and Minnesota. The fact that they're getting 8 against Maryland is a very nice team. I'm not sold that they're a great team. Michigan State might not win, but they're going to cover the 8.
Well, that line was, 4.5 when it first came out?
And it rocketed
it
up fast. Yeah.
I mean, that jumped out to a lot of college football people I was talking to initially. They're like, oh my God, let me pound Maryland real quick.
And one real quick thing, one found before, watch out. I know we don't like to put hurricanes involved in this, but if the Florida State game has to move to Winston-Salem, Florida State right now 6.5 point favorite. Wake Forest might be the one to go on, especially if that moves to a different site.
Yeah, that could affect a total in the NFL game as well, the Bucks game. So, yeah, keep an eye on the weather across sports for show. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it, man.
Hit a love machine.
Love machine, he called me. Pete Futek, everybody. Teaser time next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hey, Kelly, since we were late on the pro tip last hour, you want to do one right now? Always compare odds. We're talking baseball now, but it's good to apply to every sport. Always compare odds with games behind in the standings, remaining schedule, strength of schedule. For example, the Braves at plus 300 offer value, just one game behind the Mets, that at least according to Mark Borchard's numbers in his lab. And I have made so many bets on the Braves here to win the division. This is, I am rather invested. But again, always do your research in terms of covering every angle, strength of schedule, remaining schedule, tiebreaker situation, all of that. Always compare it. That is your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show.
There you go. So what are we sweating down the stretch of the baseball season? Because I just remembered.
Yeah.
And I have a Blue Jays win total that is in the balance.
This is a Matt Brown thing.
This is a Matt Brown situation. Yeah.
Matt Brown, co-host of the final countdown with Stormy Bonatoni here every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific here on the network. Matt literally will go an entire season. He'll be like, "Oh my God, I forgot I have this bet."
You missed the most legendary one. Matt Brown won ever that he did in the final week or two of primetime action's existence.
What was that?
Well, we started previewing Premier League, and you know how big he is on soccer, right?
Oh, do I?
Of course, we had a couple guests on.
Yes.
And he gets suckered into a bet right away. He's like, "I'm making a bet." Liverpool to win the Premier League. Now, couple things. I had to point out to him right after he made the bet because we were on the air. I had to point out to him that the schedule is usually very long.
Yes.
And he was like, "Wow, really? It goes that long?"
38 games.
It's going to be even longer this year because you have a World Cup. And then, of course, what did Liverpool begin the season? Losing the first two games or something like that?
They lost a huge one.
And a couple draws or something. So, yeah, he's that bet not looking good.
But he ended up with bets on what? I mean, the Philadelphia Stars in the USFL. That got to the championship game.
A couple hockey ones you forgot. Dallas Stars, too.
The Atlanta Dream in the WNBA. That didn't go so well.
The Dallas Stars he was on. That was one, too. Remember that one with, in the second round of the playoffs?
We should point out, for those listening, Matt, the beauty of Matt is he knows he is super strong on the sports he's super strong on, and then he doesn't take himself seriously on the other. So, you know, we appreciate that. But man, football and golf, we love Matt Brown. Kevin Thompson on Twitter. We get tweets. College guessing the lines was an instant classic. Maybe Kelly should set these up as a college football teaser segment. No, we're not doing that. Don't tease.
I don't want to trick anybody into that being a good idea.
Don't tease into college football. Don't do that. Oh, about our NFL power rankings segment. My buddy Reza in San Francisco, who is a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, is not happy with you, Kelly. Not happy
Reza?
With you.
He's
cursing at you, and I can't read these texts. But he's like, 10th? 10th, basically, is what he's saying.
Reza, I spent a lot of years living in South Florida. This sounds like a classic Dolphins fan getting real excited over the first few weeks of the season.
It should be pointed out that Reza has not lived 1 second in South Florida.
Well, it might be better off. You might have a more objective view of it then.
Maybe he does. There, by the way, Reza's never met objectivity in his life, but he is very upset with your ranking. Is it teaser time?
Teaser time! Fired up, we got a long open for this one. It's Tuesday, and it's teasers.
Hey.
It's time for teasers.
But it's not Tuesday.
But no, it's
it is
not Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, it is.
Wait a minute. I thought
it was teaser time, Gil.
Oh, I thought we had late. Yeah, we let Matt Brown and Stormy have teaser Tuesday,
that's right?
We call it teaser time.
Yeah, we had a very what do they call it? Not mutual divorce. What is it?
Amicable.
Thank you.
Yeah, we went to a mediator.
Yeah. We went to a mediator.
Yeah.
And Matt Brown and I kind of chopped up some segments.
And he got Teaser Tuesday, and you took teaser time. That was your response to it?
I figured it doesn't limit me to one day a week.
Teaser time. All right. Now, with all these, there are Wong options, and then there are Kelly Bidlin poetic license options.
That is correct.
Would you like to do the honors here?
Yeah, Kelly? Sure. Saints plus 2.5 in London. This game in London against the Vikings. Lions laying 6 home against the Seahawks. Eagles laying 6.5 home against the Jaguars. Falcons plus 2 home against the Browns. Cardinals plus 1.5 at the Panthers. Broncos plus 2 at the Raiders. Bucks plus 2.5 home against the Chiefs. Another one, to keep an eye on with that game. Rams plus 2.5 at the Niners.
So a bunch of Stanford Wong options here. Stanford Wong, pseudonym, John Ferguson, Southern California resident.
Almost fell out of my chair for the third time on this show.
What's happening with you in the chair?
It gets caught back here, so sometimes I slid forward. I almost dove forward. Wasn't good.
Maybe you're getting too excited.
Yeah.
All right. I want no part of the Saints in London. Not to say they couldn't. Couldn't cover that, but I'm not interested.
I already have a Vikings money line bet down on that game. I think the Saints, they're banged up. There's some injuries there. Dalvin Cook, you can tell me all you want. Alex Mattison, one of the best backups in the league. I don't think there's really much of a drop-off there at all. Plus, it looks like Cook's going to try to play. I like the Vikings money line in that spot.
Yeah. And by the way, for the ones that are 6s and 6.5s, right, this applies to the 7s and the ones where we're like, oh, you tease them down. If it's like a 7.5, an 8.5, that's a Wong teaser. Look to see what the money line prices would be in a parlay. Like, we don't say that enough, right? Where it's like, okay, we're doing a teaser segment. But if your money line parlay of those same two favorites teased down would be better in terms of pricing, then don't tease them down, right? Like think of the best bet that you can come up with based on your conviction.
Yeah, I mean, looking at those teams right there, right? Like Lions 6, Eagles 6.5, you probably could get a better number money line parlay in those.
So just looking at these, the as far as teaser legs, I am not excited by any of these except the Rams.
Okay, so I tried to jump in front of the market on Sunday on the openers when the Packers were still sitting at 8.5. Problem is I had to find dancing partners for them, right? So I teased the Eagles down to 1 because they were sitting 7 at that point. Eagles down to 1, and then I teased the Cardinals up to 7.5.
So I kind of like that one too. Cardinals was the other one.
I like that one. Look, am I really confident in this Cardinals team right now? No. But I'm pretty confident that the Panthers are one of the worst teams in football.
Well, the Panthers, like when you think of the Panthers, in order for them to cover the 7.5, like it would, I guess it's not a necessity, but one would think that part and parcel with that is the Panthers would score a lot of points.
Right.
And we don't really think of them that way.
Exactly.
Even a fumble return for a touchdown last week in victory would reflect that. So I think the Rams and the Cardinals is the two-legger that I like the best.
So I was going to say, the leg that just William Hill didn't post the number by the time kickoff happened on Sunday Night Football. I think my favorite leg of the week is Rams plus 2.5. I don't even think it's close, actually. I ended up making a small money line bet on them this morning, but still hoping that I see a good teaser opportunity for them. I'm just kind of like you said, there's Cardinals have already got tied into one. I don't really know how I feel about tying them into another teaser, and there's not a lot of other good options out there, so I don't know what I'm going to do with that.
Yeah, I'd say, I'll stick by that. Cardinals, Rams, for those who missed guessing lines yesterday, Rams, Niners. And again, it's unfortunate that it was the Monday night game, so it was the last game we did, and we ran into a wall with it. But that was the line that I guessed the furthest from what it was. I thought the Rams would be favored in this game. And that, by the way, Trent Williams, as a Washington football fan, Washington football team fan for many years, Trent Williams has been to, I believe, 7 Pro Bowls. 7. And he's not playing for the Niners. Jimmy G's still working his way back, right? I am shocked. I believe that line will come towards the Rams later in the week. That is my thought.
I would think so too. That's why I put the small money line bet in today.
Yeah.
It's not hitting 3. I don't think it's hitting three. Or if it does, it's going to be one of those ping pong situations. It bounces right back to 2.5, and someone's going to hit.
This from a guy, I have Niners futures. When they decided to keep Jimmy G in the offseason, I immediately bet them to win the Super Bowl, and I immediately bet them to win the NFC. So I love the Niners team as a team. But I just, in this particular instance, I don't believe that line is where it should be. So the Rams as a tease opportunity to get +8.5. Are you kidding me? Give me that.
Yeah, you got Trent Williams. So Williams likely to miss 4 to 6 weeks, high right ankle sprain. And then Azeez Al-Shaair could miss about 8 weeks with a sprained MCL in his right knee. I didn't see that one Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. So there's that as well. We've done all we can do. Teasers, survivors. Kelly, you're out tomorrow, yes?
Off to a wedding.
Uh-oh. Kelly will not be drinking at all, ladies and gentlemen.
Not at all.
Not at all. Not one beverage will go into his body. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.